you know, somewhere.
Somewhere
yep.
along the line.
Yep.
Well, every day thousands of Canadians are given the devastating news that they or someone they care about is dying. Of course, I am going through this at the moment with my father, who has inoperable cancer, and I've been over in England for the past couple of weeks while he has radiation therapy. And during this time, many people don't know where to turn, where they want, if they need information about treatment options or how to help a loved one or emotional support, or if you yourself have been given this news of how you are supposed to deal with it. And so we have Dr. Harvey Chochanoff, who is a member of the Canadian Virtual Hospice, to explain what a virtual hospice is. And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Yes, thank you. And apologies for if we got your last name wrong.
Sorry.
No, at the end of the day, you together you got it right.
Oh, there you go. We practice from time to time, yeah. This seems like, I guess in this day and age, this would seem to be, yes, this makes sense, but still a little unusual, let's say, Dr. Chochanoff. So perhaps you can explain how the virtual hospice came about.
Well, a variety of healthcare providers, palliative care providers from across the country, got together, and I guess we essentially said to ourselves, you know, palliative care is something that isn't as available as it ought to be in Canada, but at the same time, the internet is, and if we could bring these two together, is there a way that we could provide information and support in a way that would be available for all Canadians and family members, healthcare providers, volunteers, and educators? And so for the last number of years, for 5 years now, we have been hosting a web-based resource that provides support and personalized information about palliative care and end-of-life care to the tune of over 1,000 visitors every day. So every day across the country, from every province, every territory, we have people coming online, seeking out information, looking for support to be able to talk to one another, or even to be able to pose specific individual questions to a member of our staff within 3 days of which we will give them a detailed and personalized response.
And are you finding that you get more people who live in more remote areas where they might not have the access of going to a center to talk to somebody face to face?
We find that we're getting inquiries from all across the country. We certainly have had a great deal of traffic from northern and remote areas. On occasions, you know, we'll get a request from a remote nursing station where somebody might be the sole care provider who is looking at trying to sort through, I mean, how do I provide support for this individual in their community? The other thing is that sometimes people in remote or smaller communities have the challenge of perhaps not being able to have the kind of support network that might otherwise be available in a larger center. And so by going online, they can actually connect with other people who are going through similar experiences. And the people who are coming to us, about half of those 1,000 people daily are healthcare providers. They're people who are looking for information. They want to know how to take better care of the people who are coming to them. And in other instances, their patients or their family members. We have on staff both physicians, we have social workers, we have nurses, and even spiritual care providers.
And so basically it's sort of getting everything together, so your doctor might not be able to give you somebody who's going to be dealing with the more spiritual side or an alternative health or anything like that, so you can get a more well-rounded picture.
Absolutely. I mean, palliative care really spans such a broad spectrum of expertise that we feel that we needed people who had expertise in the physical, psychological, spiritual, and existential realms of patient experience. Now, what we provide, though, and I think it's very important to underscore this, is not direct care. I mean, we feel that would be a misservice to
mm-hmm.
patients. I mean, you don't want to be caring for people online. People need the availability of skilled care providers face-to-face. But oftentimes, you know, I mean, in the wee hours of the night when you're wondering about things, when there are questions that arise, you need a place to go. And, I mean, our hope is that this can become a national website that will come to the mind of every Canadian when they are facing times of loss, either personally or amongst a loved one, when they are facing a life-threatening or life-limiting condition.
I was just going to ask about that kind of, I guess, the emotional impact of that, Dr. Chachanov, because it's such a it resonates emotionally with us if it involves either a loved one or someone that we know, and to kind of get online and sort of just type in and ask a question. Does it still provide that sort of, I don't know, that comfort or that answer that you're seeking, even though it seems to be a very detached way to do it? Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, and I've had sort of at least initially, a similar sort of bias, thinking that, you know, this is the Internet, so it feels somehow technical and non-personal.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though, I mean, we've had people of all ages. For instance, we had a young person, and I think the Internet, and certainly, you know, using text messaging and using the Internet as a way of communicating is very comfortable for younger people. We had a young woman who came on who just within a very short time after her parent had died, saying that she wanted to speak at the funeral but had never attended a funeral. And within 24 hours of that response, our virtual physician, Dr. Mike Harlos, who is a wonderful leader in the area of palliative care in Canada, was able to provide the kind of response that you would hope a loving parent would provide a child, essentially saying, you know, so long as it's authentic and it comes from the heart, whether it's happy or sad or in between, it'll be the perfect thing to, you know, pay honor and respect to your deceased mother.
So now, can you give us the website?
Oh, absolutely, www.virtualhospice.ca. And I also have to point out that the support for this has come from a variety of areas, including the Canadian Partnership Against Cancer, the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority, and Health Canada.
Well, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Chachanov. He runs the Virtual Hospice website, where you can go for, as he said, essentially it's an information source, you know, rather than a treatment source. And, you know, I think that's probably what a lot of people need, especially in the middle of the night when you've got questions and you just want some information. And in a way, that might be comforting.
You know, I mean, this is all completely brand new to me, what I'm going through with my dad, and to have a resource that when you do, it's the middle of the night when you wake up and you freak out and you don't kind of know what's going on, to be able to have somebody that you can talk to or other people who are going through the same thing.
And in your case, because, you know, you did spend some time and now you're back here, and that's, you know, still like almost two continents away, and, you know, you can't just phone up the family doctor, you know, who's looking after him,
and
what's going on.
That was why it was so important for me to go over, because then I did. I spent time with my dad's doctor, and I was able to find out more, you know, information and what the prognosis was and what the treatment involved and all that kind of stuff, because from doing it from this side of the world, it's just almost impossible.
It's almost impossible, yeah, absolutely.
Still to come, we're going to talk to a man who was selling a 1959 P&E Price home. You have to see this home. It's absolutely extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
It's like completely retro. I mean, now it's really fashionable.
Right.
It's funny how fashion comes in and out, because obviously it was like top of the line in the late 50s. This was like woohoo. And then it probably went completely out of fashion in the 60s and 70s. And now it's like, wow, I would buy this house in a heartbeat. So we'll be talking to Craig McPherson, who is selling this fantastic home, and so much more here on Talk 1410, The Buzz of Vancouver.
Now you're connected with the top stories people are really